Welcome to the Healing Trauma as a Christian Mama podcast. My name is Danielle Elizabeth, and here we dive into emotional healing and trauma recovery from a Christian perspective, also integrating psychology and trauma modalities to support your healing and growth. This current series is all about the rebuild, which is my signature program. I am walking you through all the phases as we use the analogy of rebuilding a house. If you are a Christian on a healing journey and need more support, reach out today and join the rebuild. Okay, so in this episode, we are going to talk about the last two walls of framing, and that is regulating your emotions and resources. So when we look at regulating our emotions, some of the pieces of this come back from when we looked at the nervous system and looking at the different states of fight, flight, freeze, and fawn, because so much of our emotions are tied to our nervous system. Something really interesting that I learned was that emotions are actually felt and processed on a physiological level through our bodies. And so feelings are kind of the meaning that we attribute to them. And we've got these core emotions, you know, anger and sadness and even happiness. And we actually feel those in our body. And sometimes our body actually begins to process them before our mind catches up. And that's why those bottom-up approaches are so important. But in this phase, if you went through the rebuild program, you've already done a lot of work in the nervous system and with your nervous system. So you know a lot about your nervous system at this point, which is great. And so now what we want to look at is the reactions that we have when these emotions, when we feel these emotions, okay? Sometimes we are connected to our triggers. And so when we get triggered, it's actually out of, you know, unmet needs, or it's hitting unhealed wounds, or it's bringing up unresolved trauma. And so we're triggered out of that. And so we look at a few different things when we're looking at these emotions and at these triggers. We bring in a few tools to help us do this. So for a lot of us, we grew up in a society, in a culture, in an environment, even generationally, where we didn't look at emotions. Emotions were not really expressed. They were not encouraged to be expressed. A lot of us grew up from generations above us who really could not tolerate our emotions. And we're in a very interesting place now where, you know, a few generations down from that, where we are now, we have a lot of people who are working very hard to break that cycle and to understand that emotions in and of themselves are not bad. Emotions are actually messengers, and they're kind of like the check engine light on our car, right? They're like, hey, there's something going on here. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, you hear a lot now, because we have this generation of people who are just really trying to validate our emotions and allow our emotions without the shame that has been attached to them for so long. You know, you hear a lot, you know, just feel your feelings. And that is a very good piece of advice. And I do think we do need to feel our feelings, because we will spend an entire lifetime trying to avoid our feelings. We will numb them. We will escape them. We will suppress them and repress them. And we will avoid them at all costs. And that's where things like addiction become so strong, because they actually help us not only regulate our nervous system, but also help us avoid our emotions. And so, but the problem with that statement is it's a little bit oversimplified in the sense of just feel your feelings. If you've spent a lifetime trying to avoid your feelings and trying to avoid your emotions, trying to feel them all at once will actually just overwhelm you and completely shut you down. And so it's a little bit of a slower process to allow ourselves to feel those feelings without completely shutting down. And so one of the first things that I help people do, especially in the rebuild, is just naming them. There's a lot of power in naming something. I actually was in a class once with a pastor who actually was talking about even the biblical importance of naming something, and how, you know, one of the first things Adam did in the garden was name all the animals, and he was tying this whole naming thing. And I then was recently in a class with a teacher who was talking about the importance of naming things and tying that to just the biblical names that people were given. And even when Jesus changed a lot of people's names, just the importance of naming something. And so the first step is not just to feel all your feelings, but actually a slower step into the whole process of dealing with and learning how to regulate our emotions is naming them. And so a lovely resource that I use and encourage other people to use is there's something called an emotion wheel. And it really helps you. You could just Google it. There's actually ones now. They're absolutely amazing. They have the emotions, the feelings and the emotions, but also the sensations. I think it's called a sensation emotion wheel. Look that up. It's amazing. Because a lot of times when we've spent so long or we've been conditioned not to deal with our emotions, not to process our emotions, we don't really even have the language, right? We don't know exactly how we're feeling all the time because we've been basically trained not to and to be disconnected from that. And so it's really, really important that we can help ourselves in this step and not trying to figure it all out ourselves, but using a tool like the emotion wheel to start naming our feelings and starting to identify like what is going on. So, you know, when I have really hard mornings with my kids and I can look at that, I'm just so worked up. And especially if I'm super triggered out of my window of tolerance, from a nervous system perspective, the parts of my brain that can help me think logically and rationally are offline. So maybe I do have the language, but I can't even access it. And so a way to override that is to look at an emotion wheel and be like, okay, I feel overwhelmed. And when you look at the emotion wheel, there's an outer ring, a middle ring, and then a core circle. And so the outer ring is kind of like, okay, I'm feeling overwhelmed. And then the middle ring might be like, I'm anxious. And that core emotion might be, I'm fearful, or maybe I'm angry. And it guides you through so you don't have to figure it out on your own. But then an extra step I always get people to do is asking themselves, okay, I've identified my core emotion and I'm going to feel that in my body, because my body is going to be physically processing that sadness, let's say, for example. And so where am I feeling sadness in my body? Where am I feeling this? And a lot of times we are super disconnected from our bodies at first, but as we go through the healing process, as we bring the bottom-up approaches and the body-up approaches and the nervous system into it, we're starting to connect to it a little bit more. And so I can sit quietly and reflect, and you do a kind of like a body scan of like, oh wow, my chest is really heavy, or my jaw is really tight, or my shoulders are hunched, or my legs get really, really tense. And so it's really helpful to have the language given to you so that you don't have to kind of do that extra step of trying to figure it out on your own. So one of the things and the most basic thing I would give you as advice right now is kind of look up that emotion wheel and start to name the feelings and the emotions that are going on when you're feeling them. And the really interesting thing is that when we're in an emotion, okay, like let's say we're feeling really sad and we don't even really know why. And it feels like we're going to be stuck in it forever. Like we just feel like this is going to last forever. It's really interesting. When I was first working on this, I was really feeling like that. I was feeling so stuck in the emotions for very long periods of time. And I actually would let myself sit in it for a little bit. And and I had to work myself up to this, because at first I would just shut down because I was so used to drinking wine or emotionally eating or zoning out on my phone or like Netflixing and chilling to avoid, right? Like an escaping into someone else's problems and stuff. So when I first started doing this, I would really shut down. And so that's why the nervous system piece is so important, because we develop the tools and the resources to, it's called resourcing yourself, to be able to pull yourself back out when you start to shut down. And so anyways, I just remember sitting there and I was like feeling really, really sad. I could not figure out truly why, but it wasn't super important why. It was just like, it was overwhelming sadness. And I let myself sit in it. And it was quite interesting because about 5 minutes later, my daughter asked me something. And then I started talking to her and we were laughing about something. And it was the first time it dawned on me that like, wow, these emotions don't last forever. They actually are moments in time. And what I do at the end of a day is I look at all the really intense ones, or I look at all the hard ones, and I kind of give myself the story that I felt like that all day. And so it's quite normal and almost we should predict and, sorry, not predict, but we should expect to pendulate through our different emotions throughout a day. That's very normal. So to expect ourselves to be super even keel and regulated in our nervous system or our emotions all the time is really unrealistic. But to understand that we're going to go in and out of these emotions naturally, but to remember that we're not going to stay there. Even when it feels like we're going to be stuck in there forever, we're not going to stay there. And so a big piece of this kind of phase of the rebuild is about regulating our emotions, getting to know our emotions, getting to know how to name them, how to recognize them, and then progress into what to do with them. Okay, what skills and tools and strategies can I help myself to move through them without numbing them and repressing them or avoiding them or escaping them? Like what can I do to allow this to be? Because there's another great saying that's like, you've got to feel it to heal it. And so the more we find strategies that help push it down, the actually more disservice we're doing to ourselves. And so it's really important to slowly progress, and it's titrate into, you know, giving ourselves little doses of it, and then being able to fully allow ourselves to feel it without shutting down, so that we can access maybe some of the wounds that are driving it, right? And another thing we look at in this section of the rebuild is our triggers, and really what triggers us into be emotionally dysregulated, and then what to do with that. And I have a special section, a bonus section in this area of the rebuild that is about when you are triggered and react out of that trigger with our kids, what are some steps that we can take to repair with our kids? Because in the earlier phases of the rebuild, we talk about attachment and how important attachment is. And a lot of us grew up in a world in our childhood where there might have been a lot of ruptures in attachment, but then no one repaired that after. And what research is showing is that the repair is actually more important. It's not realistic to think that we're never going to rupture the connection that we have, especially with our kids, because we're all human and we're all broken. But we are able to repair and reconnect with our kids. And so I've got a little formula that I have where we go through what do we do once we've ruptured that connection or attachment with our kids. You know, we've yelled at them, we've lost it, we've raged, we've whatever we've done, okay? And how can we repair that and reconnect with them? So that is that wall of the rebuild in the framing section. And then the last wall in the framing section of the rebuild is resources. and we look at gathering all the resources we've learned up until this phase, because we've done a lot of work by the time we get to here. And so we're gathering up these resources, but then we're also looking to the future. And so we look at what are some action plans that we have for, you know, the future and what may come. How do we protect ourselves from not getting derailed? You know, life is messy, unfortunately. There's always going to be stressors. There's always going to be things that happen in different seasons of life. And so how are we going to protect ourselves? Yeah. But also prepare ourselves for that. So we have action plans. We also have like different connection plans. How are we going to make a plan to stay connected to ourselves, stay connected to God, stay connected to our spouses, stay connected to our kids? Because we are wired for connection. We need connection deeply. And so we make a plan for these things so that when the busyness of life comes, we don't completely get lost in it. And we are anchored by the fact that we've made these plans. And then the biggest piece of this is something called the healing exercise. And the healing exercise is kind of the meat of the rebuild. It is the most tangible healing process that I have and I put in this program. And so, not to go into too much detail, but it's basically a kind of a step-by-step little process of something that you do on a daily basis that is a little exercise that helps you do a multitude of things. It has so many things put into this. Every modality I've ever like used, every healing like modality, oh man, it's just, it's all packed into this exercise and it's amazing. And so, but what it really is doing is we are like rewiring our brain as we do this. We are renewing our mind. We are doing parts work. We're working with our inner child. We're working with our outer child. We're working with our inner critic and our outer critic. We are getting to the root of some of the, and the origin of some of the, you know, wounds and pain that might not have been processed yet, or what is fueling some of our symptoms like anxiety, depression, overstimulation, overwhelm, things like that. We are bringing God into it. We're bringing our faith into it. And then we are giving ourselves these tangible ways to figure out what we need and what we can do to meet those needs. And we give ourselves a baby step at the end of the exercise each day. And the baby step is a small, tangible, little promise that we make to ourselves and to our inner child that is going to build trust and build confidence in ourselves. And it's going to build confidence from the parts of ourselves that are trying to protect us because they don't believe that we are the adult that we truly are. And so it's a really beautiful exercise that encompasses more than I could say in this podcast episode, but it is really the bread and butter or the meat of this whole rebuild process. And it's something that we learn together, we do together, and then you actually do, we do it with, the goal is to do it for 21 days because that is, it's loosely based off of Dr. Caroline Leaf's neurocycle. And she's done a lot of research to prove like how to start to rewire your brain on a like a neurological level, not just like, oh yeah, we're rewiring our brain and making new neural pathways. No, she's done like the scientific research to prove that it takes a minimum of 21 days to break down the toxic thoughts that we have. And then we continue to use, our power statement, which is are kind of something that really grounds us and that stabilizes us. And we continue to use that for, you know, some days after that, so that we actually are replacing, you know, the stuff that we are trying to replace. And so the resource wall of the framing is just such a beautiful, beautiful part of the program, because, it's truly what helps us tangibly create change, on a physical level, on an emotional level, on a psychological level, on a spiritual level. So if you are listening to this and all of that sounds wonderful and you don't know what the rebuild is, it's my signature program and I am accepting new clients to go through it. I have a few different ways that you go through it. One is, you know, more self-guided, and two are different levels of support with coaching involved. And it really is a step-by-step guide through the healing process, making sure that you look at absolutely everything that you can look at so that no stone goes unturned. And if you are especially a Christian woman who is on a healing journey and needs more support, please reach out. I have many affordable options, and you do not need to do this alone.